This is episode 111 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, Workplace Issues in Georgia Nursing Homes. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. All right, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your hosts for this episode.
And today we're going to talk about just a couple of, I hate using the term grab bag. It sounds kind of scattered and without direction, but we're going to talk about some workplace issues that are going on in nursing homes right now, and kind of give people an insight into what it's like working in a nursing home. We're going to start this off with an issue that has been a hot topic for about 8 months now, and it has to do with the current administration and child labor issues in a nursing home. Now, understand that when we talk about children, we're talking about individuals who are technically children. We're not talking about 8-year-olds. We're not talking about 9-year-olds. We're talking about what the law, as far as employment is concerned,
minors.
All right. And I bring that up because whenever somebody says children to me in the workplace, I always think of Oliver Twist.
Yeah, like the old school, like the kids going into the mine.
Yeah,
and grabbing coal.
And here you've got, you know, high schoolers essentially who are working in nursing homes, and that's very
that's good. I my first job, I was 12 or 13.
Yeah, I had both the boys, my younger brothers. My father and I had both of them work at least a couple of shifts in a nursing home when they were younger. They didn't do, you know, anything. They mainly just saw what it was like to work inside one. They saw what I had to do. They saw what my dad had to do. My dad was a nurse at the time, and I was a certified nurse's assistant at the time. So they helped us out. One of them rebelled completely against the experience and ended up teaching English in Korea. And the other one actually became a nurse and currently does – well, he doesn't actually work in a nursing home. He works in a cardiac unit, but he's worked in nursing homes.
Yeah. He got the bug.
But the issue here is that it is not uncommon to see CNAs, and we're only talking about CNAs or whatever equivalent job description there is. We're not talking about nurses because that takes enough schooling. You're not going to have a Doogie Howser nurse. It's just not something common. So if you've got a nurse, then they're probably of age.
And if you're not of a certain age, then you might not know that Doogie Howser was a very popular television program in the early 80s that had to do with a child prodigy who was a doctor by the age of like 14 or 15 and all the problems that imposed on his life.
Neil Patrick Harris. So the specific issue that we're looking at here has to do with the Trump administration. And you'll have to excuse me. I have a bit of a cold this spring. The Trump administration, their wage and hour division of the Department of Labor back in 2018 proposed a rule that would allow 16 and 17-year-old nursing home workers to operate power-driven patient lifting devices without any adult supervision or assistance, despite evidence that it is dangerous. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the Hoyer lift, and we're talking about two age categories, 16 and 17, that are just below the age of majority, right? And here's some interesting stuff that's going on behind the scenes that I learned about this, that it's actually the wage and hour division of the Department of Labor and not OSHA. It's not OSHA. that is the agency tasked with determining what kind of work children can perform safely. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So you would have thought that it was OSHA, that because OSHA, if you've ever worked on a job site, if you've ever worked construction, if you've ever done anything physical, you've been, I don't know, did you ever work as a roadie?
All right. My anecdote about OSHA was going to be this is good because it circles back. My first job when I was 12 or 13 was that I worked at a veterinary clinic and picking up the poop and bathing dogs. But OSHA had come in and on the sinks because the veterinarians performed surgeries and there was chemicals and medicines and things like that. All the sinks, and I thought this was so interesting, all the sinks had special spouts put on them to shoot up two sprays of water to spray in your eyes if you ever got whatever it was that was dangerous into your eyes. And the big sign said OSHA regulates. I don't remember exactly what it said, but I remember that was my first OSHA experience. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and that's what, OSHA is typically in charge of that, but it's the Fair Labor and Standards Act. And the Fair Labor and Standards Act is the law that, protects employees from not being paid for overtime, among other issues. And it also has it also touches on whether or not children can perform certain jobs safely.
And I was going to say that literally is from when we went from Oliver Twist to what we have closer to what we have today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It used to, at one point it was, hey, kids are small so they can fit in a mine shaft.
Right.
Who cares? Now you've got 16 and 17 year olds working in nursing homes, and there's a debate on whether or not they can operate the Hoyer lift. So anyway, the Trump administration argued that they should be allowed to do so because not letting them do that deprives youth. This is from the those that are suggesting they should be allowed to do it. It deprives youth of valuable skills development opportunities, exacerbates staffing shortages at healthcare facilities, and delays the care patients receive, and causes youth to manually lift patients, even though using patient lifts is widely recognized as safer. Well, first of all, the problem that I have with this argument is, number one, causes youth to manually lift. If somebody is a mechanical lift and the CNA is not allowed to lift them because of their age, then they're not allowed to lift them. In addition, you note here that in the middle of the complaint is that it exacerbates staffing shortages at healthcare facilities. The problem that I have with that language is it would be tantamount to saying forcing regulation on, child labor in China is exacerbating the storage they have in their factories. Like, so what? Then you need to pay people more. You need to hire more adults. So it's just a terrible argument on their part. At the end of the day, it is it's a very big issue. And when this first came up, the wage and hour department actually didn't have the expertise when it came to Hoyer lifts. I don't think a lot of people know what they were. So they turned to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health for some help. And this organization said this, that many 16 and 17 year old employees cannot safely operate power driven hoists to lift and transfer patients by themselves. Independent use of a power driven hoist by a 16 or 17 year old would put them at increased risk for serious musculoskeletal injuries. Moreover, the scientific literature indicates that most 16 and 17-year-old workers do not have the ability to properly assess the risk associated with using power-driven lifts. So, you know, this administration is finding itself at odds with pre-existing organizations that whose sole task is to research this, and they have determined, hey, they have no reason to swing one way or the other. They've determined that this is dangerous for 16 and 17 year olds. And like I was, you know, commenting on what the other side's arguments are, basically it's just that it's a lot of cheaper labor for the healthcare industry. That's what it boils down to, is the healthcare industry doesn't want to give up this cheaper labor and this larger labor pool of you know, 16, 17 year old vocational workers. And that's, you know, it's not taken into account how dangerous it is, not only for the 16 and the 17 year old, but how dangerous it is for the resident as well. Hoyer lifts, I've probably used them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over 10 years. But there is a method to them. You know, there is a way that you can not do them properly and somebody could slip out and fall. There's also still a risk that you could hurt yourself. I've got workers' comp friends who are attorneys, and they tell me that some of their largest client pools tend to be in the healthcare industry because these people hurt themselves so many times. And I can attest to that as well. You know, it is a physically demanding job. And even though it is less physically demanding when you're using a power-driven hoist, it still has problems with it. And at the end of the day, I just, you know, I think it's more dangerous for the resident than it's too dangerous for the resident to just allow somebody who's 16 and 17. Now, listen, the argument is also, well, if they've got the proper training, do they have the proper training? And that's fine. There is a suggestion that with the proper training, if they have a certain number of hours of training, or if they have an individual who's older or has more training supervise them, they can do it. But where this is going to land, I'm not really sure. But also what it points to is just another example of this administration siding with the healthcare industry instead of not just consumers, but even the healthcare workers.
Yeah. What I think is interesting is that they're in an industry that is famous for and consistently striving to cut corners and mm-hmm. to save money.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that this is one of the methods in which they are trying to accomplish that objective. How much money could they possibly make squeezing out or lessening the hourly rate of an employee that's 16 or 17 to save money for this issue? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much money could possibly be saved by this? I mean, I know that labor is usually the most, is the highest part of the budget, but I guess that's probably why. Then, I mean, it would make sense. It's just interesting that this is something that somebody thought about and goes, you know what, this is a way we can make even more money.
Yeah, and what I'd really love to see is I'd love to see some real numbers here, because I'm open minded. I'm sympathetic to business owners. I'm sympathetic to dealing with the market. I'm certainly for free trade and free market capabilities and actions. But, I mean, unless you show me that your profit margins are razor thin, mm-hmm. I believe that somebody is stockpiling money. And plus, you know, we've had cases against nursing homes where, you know, the owners were paying themselves. A CNA might make 20, high 20s, maybe low 30s a year. I mean, when I did it, I made $7 an hour. I made mm-hmm. minimum wage.
Yeah.
And we've had cases where owners who are paying themselves what a CNA makes in a year, in a month. So you're making 40,000, you're making 20,000 a month, and you're trying to cut corners by getting cheap, you know, 16-year-olds to come work for you to use a Hoyer lift, and you're complaining that it's exacerbating things because it's leading to staffing shortages. Just hire more people and pay them more. But it also brings up an interesting riff that you know people need to remember is that there are three positions here. There are the consumers, there's the healthcare industry, and then caught in the middle are the employees. And I think that people tend to forget that. And every single case that we have, an employee is a bad actor, you know, and from a legal standpoint, that just means that they contribute it to negligence, that they're part of the problem. But we don't really sue the employees. We're suing the employer, because at the end of the day, if they were paid enough and they had enough staff, this probably wouldn't happen. So just, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you go work with, when you go visit your mom, you go visit your loved one. The CNAs, these young people working there, the older CNAs, the nurses, they're not the enemy. You're just, you know, they're in some ways they're in it with you because they're fighting against this system as well. This system that says here's $7 an hour to literally deal with every aspect of human bodily functions that there is.
Yeah.
So you take people to the bathroom, you shower them, you shave them, you clean them over and over again, backbreaking work for 8 hours a day for the same amount that you could make at Taco Bell. You might even get better benefits.
I love Taco Bell.
I don't know why people always bring up Taco Bell when they're talking about the comparisons of minimum wage jobs, but they do. It's either Taco Bell or McDonald's. I guess it's just they're all
iconic. Taco Bell, if you know, because I was Rage Against the Machine in the 90s, Taco Bell was always in trouble for exploiting migrant workers and farmers and such.
Yeah.
That's probably why. We've come a long way since then. Speaking of me coming a long way, do you know what this Saturday is?
Yes. Yes.
This Saturday, if everything goes according to plan, because we record these often very far in advance.
Yeah.
But this Saturday, I will be married in church. Not the official. This is not the civil marriage. This is the religious marriage.
Okay.
In Brazil. We actually, as this goes to air, which would be March 25th, we will be in Brazil.
Yep.
You and I.
Yep.
Not marrying each other. I'll be marrying Daniela.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they allow that in Brazil right now.
I don't think they do.
No,
actually, because now they have that crazy president. I'm just kidding. I don't know if you're listening, if anybody is. Yeah. Anyway, but he is pretty loco. Actually, not loco. I think it is loco in Portuguese as well.
Yeah.
He's pretty crazy. Anyway, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, thought I'd throw that in there. But that's going to conclude this particular episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can get new episodes of the podcast every Monday morning on Stitcher, iTunes, Podpuppies, Google Play, or you can watch at nursinghomeabusepodcast.com or on our YouTube channel. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.